Folks, this is Pastor Brandon coming to you live this evening with another Pastor Brandon live broadcast. And it's good to be here this evening. And boy, it's been a long week. I want to wish you a happy weekend. And it is December 8th. That means the countdown to the new year has already begun since the 1st of December. Actually, it was more like the 30th of November. And it's good to be here this evening, and I'm going to be talking about kind of a very lengthy message because I'm going to be getting into, I got only 3 pages of notes, but there's going to be a part of the message where I'm basically am going to be reading, I'm basically going to be reading out of 4 chapters. In this message, and the reason why I'm doing so is because I want to be sure to kind of get the whole story in context, and I know it's going to take a lot of time, but this is kind of important because this is something that, I don't know, lately, Amos chapter 8 verse 11, where it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." And for some reason, this particular verse is really, it's not leaving me. For some reason, this verse has been kind of sticking with me for a little bit. And there's just some things in my life that I feel that correlate to this verse. And I'm going to actually take this verse, I'm going to take Amos chapter 8, verse 11, and I'm going to correlate it to Joseph's life. I'm going to correlate to Joseph as to how he was a preserver of his family in a time of famine. And that was a famine of bread and water, but I believe that we're in a time of famine of spiritual food, okay? Spiritual sustenance, okay? We are in a spiritual famine of the Word of God. And why is this? It's because there's not a whole lot of churches anymore preaching truth. And I feel that God has put me as a preserver for my family to preserve them of their spiritual life as per... And what I mean by that, basically being a light and a witness to them, to the truth, okay? And so, for some reason, this just really spoke to me this week that Amos 8:11 couldn't have a connection with Joseph. And so, that's what I'm going to be preaching on, and that is why I'm going to actually read 4 chapters from Genesis straight through. That's why it's going to be kind of a lengthy message, but I hope that this message will kind of, you know, make sense, if that makes sense. but before we do, we have a fellow sister in the Lord who is going through quite a bit right now and is constantly busy and doesn't really have a whole lot of time to do things. And so please pray for her. She needs our prayers. And listen, I can understand how it can be hectic. People's lives get hectic. I understand how people, you know, they're constantly working. They can't really catch a break and stuff like that. But pray for this fellow sister. She needs our prayers. So pray for her and her family, and this sister's mother. And the situation that she's in right now, because the situation she's in right now is wearing her out like there is no tomorrow. Okay, so she needs our prayers. Also, I want you to keep Brother Joey in prayer because I know he's got pain once in a while. Pray for me. It's been kind of a bad week for me. My back's been hurting me. I've been on a roller coaster emotionally. And I don't know what's going on, but it's just there's a lot of stuff that seems to be going on. So anyways, with that said, I just want to kind of get that out of the way, and let's see here. I gotta get my sound effects ready because I know everybody loves my sound effects.
Let's see here. I'm just gonna let's see here. We have let's see. Oops, that's not okay. All right. So, anyways, so we're gonna be talking about famine. And I'm gonna talk about this in a perspective of food. Okay. Last time I spoke as pertaining false teachers. And false teachers, let's see here. False teachers, the only thing they really care about is, oh, wait a minute. I don't think my thing is loud enough. Hang on, let me try it again. So false teachers only care about, and that's all they care about, okay? They only care about the money, and even if they have to spread their lies and all their deceits, to make people like in sheep's clothing, you know, that's what they'll do. And a lot of these so-called leaders, these Christian so-called leaders that actually act like that, they to me, are spiritual dictators. They are Nicolaitans. Okay, they are Nicolaitans, and the only thing they want is money, and they'll do just about anything to get it. So that we talked a little bit about these false teachers and stuff, and how it equates to how I believe that equates to the famine of hearing the word of God, because there's not many churches again preaching the word of God. Amen. So if you have your Bibles. Now, if you guys are watching this, I hope you guys are ready to get fed, because I'm going to tell you something. After this, you'll get full, but I think you want more. You'll probably want more. So, but I'm going to feed for all those who are watching. I'm going to be throwing out a lot of information, and I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture. I mean, a lot of scripture. I mean, we're going everywhere, okay? But and then I'm going to read four chapters. Okay, so I hope you guys are ready to be fed, okay, because I'm going to be sure, by the grace of God, that you all see this and make sense to you, okay, and hopefully you get full on this, okay. I don't want this, and I'm going to try my best to not add any fillers to it, because really, we need just to have the plain word, simple, the plain word of God, plain and simple, amen. So, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. And Amos is in the Minor Prophets. And it's not because he was minor or major. It's just that, you know, it's a short book. Amen. So, Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Let's begin. Okay. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. This can apply, this verse, I believe, that when someone brought this to my attention, I believe this verse could potentially be talking about the 400 silent years in between testaments, okay? So, after Malachi, before Matthew, you have 400 years of silence. God didn't speak, okay? I believe that correlates to that. But I also believe that it correlates to our day. Why? Because the Bible says that no scripture is of private interpretation. Amen? So, you can have types and pictures, perfect fulfillments, partial fulfillments. And I think this, you know, has a fulfillment in our days. Okay? So, we see that the Lord is going to send a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Okay, now we can agree that food, physical food, is important for our bodies. Okay, we need to eat healthy. We need to take care of our bodies. Even I do, because as much as anybody else, I like food and I like eating food. And if I go to a buffet, I just eat food, and we gotta watch what we eat. I gotta watch what we eat. We all gotta watch what we eat. Amen. And but anyways, The food is important, okay? But what's even more important is spiritual food, okay? So in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" And Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. Okay, in Deuteronomy 8:3 it says, And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. This is what proceeded out of the mouth of God. And if something's not in here, it doesn't exist. Everything that God wants us to know is written in this book. Every single answer to life is written in this book. Everything that exposes secret societies and actually different religions, I've come to realize that it God shows us what Islam is like, and it also shows, what was it? I know Islam is one of them. And you can actually see that in the book of Daniel. There's like a type-in picture of what Islam does. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying it promotes Islam. I'm just saying that God gives us the answers to everything that we need to know. Amen? He gives us every answer. But we need to search for it. Amen? He's not going to spoon-feed it to us. We need to live by the words of the Lord. Now, Luke 4:4. And that's very interesting. Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4. I never realized that. That's interesting. Okay? Luke 4:4. And Jesus answering him and saying, "It is written that man should not live by bread alone, but every word of God." That's amazing. Let's see here. "Just as the body needs to eat, our souls need to eat as well. And how do our souls eat? Our souls eat and drink from the Word of God." This is why we need to be in the Word daily. Amen? In John chapter 6, verse 32 through 35, "Then Jesus saith unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Okay? Jesus Christ is the true bread from heaven, and therefore if we eat the true bread, we will never grow hungry, we will never hunger nor thirst. Okay, but the question is, who's Jesus Christ? Well, the answer is actually simple. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This is Jesus Christ, folks. This is the bread that came down from heaven, and it tastes sweet. Will you partake of it today? This is the bread that we partake from spiritually. Amen. This is food. This is what we need. Amen. Now, in John 1:14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." 1 John 5:7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the bread of life, and he is our food. He is our spiritual meat. He is our spiritual food. Do you have Jesus today in your life? If you don't, you can know today that you're going to heaven. Amen. You can know today that you're going to heaven. Today is the day of salvation. Okay. Tomorrow might be too late. So as we see from Scripture, Jesus Christ is the Word, and the Word is spiritual food, and we need spiritual food to help us grow. Okay? Now, in Hebrews 6:5, "And have tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the world to come." Okay, let me repeat that first part. And have tasted the good word of God. That is Jesus Christ. That is your King James Bible, folks. Folks, that is your King James Bible. Have you tasted the good word today? You should. We all should. We should all have tasted the good word of God today. Amen? Because God's word is good, even while we are not. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So as we see that the word of God is food, and the Lord said that he will send a famine, not of food or water, but of the word of God. And this famine will be a famine of spiritual food, not physical food. Okay? Why? Because the word of God is physical, is spiritual food that we need to dwell from. And guess what? There is a famine in the land. Okay? There is a famine in the land. And by the way, this is where I think God is going to start raising up Josephs to start putting up churches and ministries to help preserve that word, to teach the word, to preach the word, so when people need food, they can come and buy. Oh, wow. Hang on a second. Okay, the parable of the 10 virgins. Okay. When the bridegroom was about to come, okay, what did the wise tell the foolish? The wise virgins told the foolish virgins to go and buy from that sell. As per oil, go and buy the oil from who they sell. Oil, I believe, is faith in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that interesting? And by the way, where does faith come from? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And the word of God is food to your soul. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Maybe I'm wrong on that. Just check me on that. But that is interesting. Okay. So as we see that the word of God is food, and the Lord... Okay. So I already touched on that. Okay. So here's my question. So how does this correlate to the days of Joseph? And how does it correlate to our days? Well, I kind of briefly talked about that. But I want us to turn to Genesis. Okay, let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 37. Okay, Genesis 37. We go all the way to the beginning again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? We're going to the very beginning of the book, Genesis chapter 37, and we're going to start in verses 5 through 10. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I've dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow ourselves down to thee on the earth? Let me tell you something. God had showed Joseph that he was going to raise him up in leadership for a certain time. And that time would be a time of preservation during famine. Okay? The title of the message is Joseph's preservation. This was going to be at a time of famine. And guess what? This was a literal famine of bread and water. How much more is God going to start raising up Josephs in our days of spiritual famine? How much more? We're going to find that out tonight, amen? We're going to find that out. So, now after this, okay, so we see, okay, so God had showed Joseph in a dream what was going to happen eventually, okay? Now, if we go to Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 6, okay? And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and served him. And he had made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put forth into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left that all he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had. He knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Okay? But here's the thing, though. Shortly after this, we see that Potiphar's wife was wanting Joseph to lay down with her. And you know what Joseph did? He ran away. You know what Potiphar's wife did? She went and complained to her husband. And she had him thrown in jail. And yet Joseph was an innocent man. He didn't sin in that manner. Joseph was an innocent man thrown in jail. Okay? But God had plans. Okay, now this is where we're going to start reading the chapters here. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 41. And I know this is going to be a very lengthy chapter, so just please bear with me. And if I read really fast, I apologize. I got a lot of information I want to get out to you today. And I don't want to, but I also want to mind the Holy Ghost. Okay, so Genesis chapter 41. Okay, and it came to pass that at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river, and behold, there came out of the river 7 well-favored kine, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed flesh kind did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kind. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept, and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up, 1 stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank in full years. And Pharaoh awoke. And behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward, and the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And when we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man and Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams to each man according to his dream. He did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. The Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself, and changed his raiment, and came into Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up them, and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in the land of Egypt, for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, could not be known that they had eaten them. But they were still ill-favored at the beginning. So I awoke, and I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, and there was none that could declare it unto me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one God has shewed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one, and the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he sheweth unto Pharaoh. Behold, they came up 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following it shall be very grievous. And for that dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Let me tell you something. God said in his word, out of the mouth of 2 to 3 witnesses, and let every word be established by the mouth of 2 to 3 witnesses. And guess what? Pharaoh was shown this dream twice, that there was going to be 7 plenty years and 7 years of famine. Okay, so that means that there's going to be 7 years where they're going to stock everything up, and there's going to be 7 years of famine in the land. Okay, now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land. And let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh. And let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, "Can we find such a one as this is a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God hath shewed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou should be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it on Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler of all the land of Egypt. Now, hang on. Okay, so let's see here. So we see here that God had promoted Joseph. Okay, so Joseph interpreted the dream. God promoted him as a ruler. This was a fulfillment of what Joseph saw in his dream. Okay, this was a beginning fulfillment. Okay, now, due to a lot of this, I'm actually not going to read all of the chapters. I'm not going to actually read the whole chapter of 41. Okay, but I do want to kind of skip down here. And it says, in the seven plenteous years, the earth had brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. Okay? Now, Joseph had a Pharaoh gave Joseph a wife, and he bore two sons. One of them was Ephraim. One of them is Manasseh, and the other one was Ephraim. Okay, but now when we go down to verse 53, it says, "And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt was ended." Okay, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according to Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all the lands, but on all the land of Egypt there was bread. Think about that. There was bread. What is bread? The word of God is bread. Amen. That's amazing. Okay, and when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto the Egyptians, "Go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do the face of the do." And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. Stop right there. What is a storehouse? Okay, Malachi shows us in Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. It says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Improve me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it." A storehouse, in this context, is a church. It's your home church that you go to. That's what a storehouse is. You see, this is why I think God is going to start raising up Josephs and storehouses. Why? God's going to raise them up to preach the truth as it is, so that when the famine gets worse, people can go to those storehouses and buy and sell and receive the word of God and be filled. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that cool? Now, let's go to 42. When Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, "Why do ye look one upon another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die." Think about that. I think the famine is going to be so great that when people find out that these teachers and these false prophets and teachers have lied to them, I bet you some of them are going to have that mentality. They're going to start going and search for truth because they don't want to die spiritually. Think about it. Isn't that something? Let's see. "And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brethren. For he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came. For the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land." We're starting to see that dream is coming to pass now, isn't it? And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, "Whence come ye?" And they have said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dream which he dreamed of them. And he said unto them, "Ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land ye are come." And they said unto him, "Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come." We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, "Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye come." And they said, "Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man. in the land of Canaan, and behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, That is it that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh ye shall go not forth, hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be in truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together in the ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them, the third day this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. Okay, so we see that this famine is gone into the land, and the brethren have gone up to get corn because their father said so. Amen. Now, I want to skip down here to, let's start in verse 25. Okay, then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender, in the end he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brother, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? And they came unto Jacob, their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, the man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly unto us, and took us for spies in the country. Now, then they go back to the father, and they tell him everything that Joseph had told them. Okay, now, let's see here. I want us actually to go up to I want us to go to Genesis 43, and we're going to start in verse 1. And it says, and the land was, and the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. And let's see here. I'm really trying to not bore everybody by reading every single verse, but I want to try to make sure that we get the gist of what's going on. So if we go down to, let's see here. Let's go down to verse 11. And it says, and their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this, take of the best fruits in the land and your vessels, and carry down the man and a present, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again into your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise, go up and unto the man. Now, when we continue on, let's see here. Let's go to verse 16. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said unto the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time, are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house. And it came to pass, it may seem like I'm skipping, that's because I'm trying to conserve time. So in verse 21 it says, and it came to pass, when we came to the inn, that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again into our hand. Now, I want to go down to verse 23. It says, he said, peace be to you, fear not, your God, and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money, and he brought Simeon out unto them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet and gave their asses provender. Now, let's see here. I'm really trying to not bore with all the little details. But let's see here. I want to go down to Let's go to chapter 44. Okay? And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. Now, and when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto the steward, Up, follow after the men, and when thou doest, overtake them, saying, wherefore have you reward evil for good? Is not this in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing. And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servant should do according to these things. Now, let's see here. Okay, so in verse 14, and Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? What ye not have that such a man as I can certainly divine? Let's see here. And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose cup and whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up and peace unto your father. Then Judah came near unto him, saying, O my Lord, let thy servants, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked the servant, saying, have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou sayest unto thy servants, bring him down unto me, that I may set my eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. Let's see here. Okay. So what I want to do is I want to go to verse 45. I know that was a lot to read, but I want to go to verse 45. Chapter 45. So Genesis 40, chapter 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself, therefore all of them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled in his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Stop right there. I've done a lot of reading. Now I want to talk. God sent Joseph. Okay. And all that reading I did probably really wasn't necessary, but I kind of wanted to get some background. And again, it was probably not necessary, but anyways, here's the thing. God sent Joseph and to Egypt. Okay? Joseph got in jail, interpreted dreams for a baker and a butler, was still in jail, was brought out of jail, interpreted dreams for Pharaoh, became second in command, became the governor, and he ruled over Egypt. God made Joseph a Pharaoh over, and God made Joseph a father to Pharaoh. Okay? Joseph stocked up food for 7 years, and there were 7 years of famine. His brothers came to buy food. Okay? Joseph was testing his brethren. He didn't want to make them known. Okay? Now they've come back and bought food, more food. Now Joseph has made himself known unto his brethren. And you realize, he said, God sent me here to preserve life. God used Joseph as a preserver of life for his family during that time of famine. Okay? For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. I'm just going to stop right there with all that reading. I mean, and I didn't, when I did all this, I read through it, and it's like, you know, all those chapters, you know, having to read all that would be perfect, but now having to go through all that, it's kind of like I didn't have to read all that stuff. So please forgive me. I apologize. But we see here that Joseph, there was a famine in the land, a famine of bread and water. Joseph was sent to preserve life. We live in times right now that God has sent a famine of hearing the word of God. And why? Because this has turned out to being a pretty godless society. Wouldn't you agree? The Luciferian elite has taken over this whole nation. Has taken over Hollywood, has taken over all these other aspects to our government. And praise God, if they all get arrested and sent to Gitmo, I would really much appreciate that, because they've been nothing but a thorn in the flesh. We'll put it that way. But here's the thing. It's not just these Luciferian elitists. It's these false preachers that are preaching a false gospel. I can't talk today. These false preachers are preaching a false gospel, a false Jesus. And guess what? There are not many churches preaching the word of God. And therefore, not many people are being fed. Most of the American church is dead. It is deader than a doornail. And the word of God is supposed to be food, and God has allowed these false preachers. God has sent a famine in this land. God has sent a famine in this land. And this famine is only going to get worse. Here's the thing. Okay? God's word, the word of God, is spiritual food. So there is a famine of spiritual food. Okay? God has sent a famine of spiritual food. Okay? Spiritual food is just as, if not more so, important than regular food. You know why? Because it is that spiritual food that saves a person from hell. God has sent a famine, and that famine is only going to get worse. But I'm going to tell you something. Here's the good news. I believe God is going to start raising up Josephs to start building storehouses And those storehouses are going to be filled with the Word of God. So why? So that if there's any left, any foolish virgins that have not yet bought before it's too late, can go to those storehouses and buy before it is too late. Because I'm going to tell you something. Once we're translated out of here, that's it. That door is shut. The translation's coming soon, people. And God, I believe God is preparing storehouses and he's raising up Josephs in these storehouses so that people can go to search out answers for what's going on. Can I get an amen from God's people on that? Hang on a second. So, here's the thing. I believe that God is going to raise up Josephs to help preserve, i.e. teach, the Word of God. Just as Joseph brought food in the storehouses to have food in time of famine, I believe that God will raise up Josephs and storehouses to help preserve spiritual life, i.e. leading people to Jesus Christ for salvation in a time of famine. You know why? Because when you have Jesus Christ on your side, you won't go hungry, even in a time of famine. And Joseph was a type and picture of Jesus Christ. He was sent to Egypt. He preserved the life of his family, but he also preserved the life of the people that were in Egypt. Can I get an amen from God's people on that? I like that. Anybody else like that? I love it. God's word is good. Now, the question I have for you is, are you willing to be a Joseph? Are you willing to be a Joseph and give the word of God freely to those who need it? Are you willing to be like a Joseph? To freely give the word of God out for free to people who need it in a time of famine. And I'm going to tell you something. It's getting worse. It is getting worse out there. Okay? In Joseph's time, it was famine of physical food and water. But in the last days, which is our days, there's a famine of spiritual food. God sent that famine. Are you willing to help preach the truth in a godless society? Are you willing to be a Joseph? Are you willing to be a Joseph to preserve, help preserve life? To be a light and salt on this earth? To tell the truth as it is without sugarcoating it? Here's the thing. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Now, I want to wrap it up by saying this. I read a lot of Bible today. I'm sorry if that really was on and on and on. Probably a good thing I kind of cut it short with that. But there's nothing wrong with reading the Bible. Everybody should read their Bible. Everyone should study their Bible. Amen. But listen, here's what's on my heart. Something that came to me was I kind of correlate to Joseph a little bit because of my situation. And I had the thinking that what if I'm not really about preserving their physical life as more as preserving their spiritual life? Here's what I mean by that. And preserve is probably not a good word to use. What if I am to preserve the word? Or not? How can I word this? I had the thinking that what if it's not a physical life that I'm helping out? It's a spiritual life that I'm helping out with my family. Because this is a time of famine. And my family may not know all the truth. I mean, we all don't know all the truth. But you know what I'm saying. what if spiritually I am a Joseph to my family as to helping them to get in, to helping them by setting a biblical example, by helping them to lead to the truth, so that way when that time comes, they can easily find it. You know what I'm saying? I hope that makes sense. But it was something that's been on my heart. And Amos 8:11 was something that was not leading me. It was just something that was sticking with me. Okay? It wasn't leaving. It was sticking with me. And I just didn't know. You know, and then like this just sort of came to me thinking, you know, maybe I'm here to, you know, with my family, you know, helping them spiritually to preserve life, to preserve spiritual life. Joseph was a preserver. I mean, he preserved life. What if in my case, it's more spiritual? I mean, yeah, physical too, but spiritual. You know, and I say physical too, because if a man can't provide for his own, he denies the faith is worse than an infidel. If he can't provide for his own, how can he take care of the church of God? This is more of a spiritual aspect to it. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, listen, I love you guys, okay? Because I love you, I tell you the truth. But honestly, I don't want you taking what I say. I want you to take what I say and match it with this. If what I say doesn't match with this, then let God be true and every man a liar. If I'm wrong, God will correct me and rebuke and chasten me for it and show me where I'm wrong, and I will have to give an account for it. Okay? But if I'm right, then I pray and ask that He will show you. Okay? With that said, believers, my challenge for you is this. Are you willing to be a Joseph to preserve life? Are you willing to preserve life by being a living epistle to those around you? Are you willing to being a living epistle? Amen? And non-believers, okay? Well, here's the thing. Believers, I want to challenge you. If you're called to being a Joseph, don't be afraid to step up and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Amen. Listen, non-believers, if you're watching this and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, okay, today is the day of salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're watching this, you are a whosoever. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Whosoever, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is who He says He is, you'll be saved. Okay? If you want to know how to be saved, you need to legitimately and sincerely go before the Lord and repent of your sin, ask Him to forgive you, to wash you clean, to fill you with His Spirit, and ask Him into your heart and life. And most importantly, to put your faith and trust in Him and what He did for you at the cross. Amen. Listen, guys. I love you guys. I know that was really long. I really apologize. I probably should have did a little bit better job at maybe looking at it. But how I first looked at it, it was kind of like, yeah, that might all will fit in there. And I just kind of realized even doing this, it just... that was too much. So I apologize for it being too much. But, you know, that's something I'll have to work on. Amen. That's something the Lord will have to work with me on. But anyways, listen, I love you guys. God bless you. This is Pastor Brandon. I am signing off for the evening. God bless you. I love you guys. Tomorrow, maybe we might have a live devotional. We'll see. If the Lord willing, otherwise, if the Lord willing, I will be having Fishers of Men on Monday. We're going to continue our faith series, and we're going to just continue on with Hebrews 11 by picking up with Father Abraham. Amen. With that said, listen, I love you guys. God bless you. You have a great night, and I'll see you later. God bless you guys. Love you. See you. Bye.